Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Good morning. Happy Sunday. Glad you're in church. We should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, especially during this period when you can decide to be at home, but then you decide to go somewhere in the catchment and listen to the Word of God, or just download the message and listen and participate. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you because we know the glory of your presence is in this place. And even as the Word of God is ministered, this Word of God comes with glory and with the wind of the Spirit and touches everyone who's listening uniquely, just like you do. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, it's our year of laughter, and it's still our month of oneness, still the month of April. I do know that by August, this should be over. Just to emphasize the importance of some months over some others. But let's start today's service. I want to say something quickly to you. I'll say two things, and then I'll close. You are important to God. Say, I am important to God. Some people have accepted being important to their family. They are the breadwinners, they're the ones who supply the money. Some people have accepted being important to their friends. But primarily, you are important to God. He needs you. He does. I was thinking this morning about what Jesus said in Luke 15 and Matthew 18, respectively. He was talking about the shepherd who had 100 sheep and lost one. And he left the 99 because he knew they were safe, and went to look for that one that he lost. Think about it. He lost one. He left the 99 and went to look for that one that he lost. And when he found it, he celebrated. That one must have been important. You know, there are so many in this world, all right? 7 billion plus. And you could be many in your family. And so you have not yet believed or understood the significance of your uniqueness to God. You could look at others, or you might have even thought about it, that maybe there's something really great about my life. Someone says, some people came by mistake. We are 7 billion. We cannot all be important. Why? Because only few names are known. That's not true. God is the master creator, the most creative person you could ever find. And he made you. Think about it. You think he'll make you just for making six? So he says, no. You know, my parents didn't plan for me. I was number 20 in the family. They didn't plan for me at all. Yeah, but then he made you. This is what I mean. There are people who want to have children and they don't have. Are you seeing it? So it's not about not planning for you. It's the fact that God actually planned that you should be here. So look at that story, Luke 15. You know, I'm rushing, so you can look at it when you get back home. Go to Luke 15 and Matthew 18 and you'd see it. Look at that story. He had 100. He lost one. He left the 99 and looked for that one. Wow. That means that one must have been really special. But from that example and that story, we see some points. I have some points here I want to bring out to you. Number one, if God saw the whole world and still sent his son just for you, it means that you're important. that one sheep was important to the shepherd, meaning that he didn't think there was any other sheep in his flock like that one. What does that tell you? As an individual, you're important to God. Don't compare yourself. Are you saying it? Don't. You are uniquely vital. Don't compare yourself to others. You can be inspired by others, but don't compare yourself. God treats you as an individual. Are you saying it? He's not going to compare you with someone else. He might tell you to be inspired by that person, but there is no comparison. Don't compare yourself. Even if it's just you, among 7 billion, you're important to God. Number two, think about it. No other sheep could replace that one. You know, let me tell you something. The more valuable something is, the more you go after it. Let me give you an example. He had 100 sheep. He lost one, and he left the 99 and looked for that one. Okay, so I'll talk to you now. If you had 1 naira, that's 100 kobo, and you lost 1 kobo, would you really leave 99 kobo and look for that 1 kobo? Maybe not. Except you really need to buy something with 100 kobo. All right, so you will not do that. If you had 100,000 naira and you lost 1,000 naira, would you go that extra mile to look for that 1,000 naira? You would, compared to if you had 100 kobo. If you had 100 million naira and you lost 1 million naira, you see, one stops looking so small. It's getting big. If you had 100 trillion and you lost 1 trillion, do you know what you can get with 1 trillion? It's so much. No other one in that 99 trillion can make up for the absence of that 1 trillion. That 1 trillion is important. I told you guys last year how that this lady, very smart, she said, without 10 naira, 1 million naira would not be complete. And she's correct. So you are a vital part of his plan. He has a grand plan for the world, for the church. And you are a significant part of that puzzle. If you are not there, it will not be complete. And so he sent his son just for you. He thought you were important. And let me tell you something. He cannot make another person like you. If he could, then we should not be here. If God could have someone like you, who talks like you, who thinks like you, who laughs like you, who complains like you, if he could create someone else just like you, then we should not be here. We shouldn't. Because why are we preaching? If that person goes to hell, God can make another one. But he can't. He can't. He can't. Think about it. He can't. And so he sent his son for you. So no other person can replace your importance to God. You can say, I'm important to God, but that person is more important. No. No other person. You're important to him. And you're the one to show that it is true. Because he already agrees that it is true. And then, in getting back that sheep, we get to the salvation story. He sent his son to die for you. I'm talking to you as an individual. To die for you. And the Bible says you were bought with a price. So, what did he think you were worth? The blood of his own son. He thought you were worth the blood. Think about it. You know, there are people who really, really worship Angel Gabriel. They might not say they are worshiping, but they really like the guy. They are awed by angels. And when you see the description of angels in the Bible, they are really awesome. Like, they will make you full of awe, all right? But don't know how great they are. He didn't think they were good enough for you. Are you seeing it? When you want to buy something, you will pay what you think that thing is worth. So even if you don't buy that thing with that money, if you take that money somewhere else, you can get that thing. If I paid 20 naira for a toothbrush, that means that 20 naira is a toothbrush. So even if I don't buy that toothbrush, anytime I'm with 20 naira, I can say, oh, this is one toothbrush. Just like we say, you know, 10,000, I say, ah, that one is one, what do you buy for 10,000 naira? One Nokia phone. So he didn't think you were one angel. He thought you were worth more than an angel. He could have sent a monkey or a goat. He sent his son. Means you are what God looks at you and thinks you are what his son. You are what it. Oh, oh God. He looks at you and he's happy about the purchase. He thinks, yes, this is a good deal. Bible says the kingdom of God is like a man, a merchant man, who found goodly pearls and sold all that he had to buy that pearl. Bible says he did it in excitement. Like a man who saw treasure or found treasure in a field and sold all that he had to purchase that field. He did it in excitement. So when God sent his son for you, he did it in excitement. He was happy. He thought this is a good buy. You know, at times you buy something, then you go back home and you thought they've bad me. It has finally happened. They've cheated me. This is a terrible purchase. And you're not excited. Or at times, you go somewhere, you want to buy something, and someone is trying to convince you passionately why iTel is better than iPhone. I'm looking at a person like this, not convinced. But how much do you have? 25,000 naira. The person says, no, that is iTel. iTel. iPhone. Telling is greater than phoning. You're just looking at him. You still pay, but it's not in excitement. But when you buy something in excitement, let's say you got an iPhone, it's original, it's working, and the person says, this iPhone should cost 300,000 naira. But I remember what you did for me, so I'm going to give it to you for 25,000 naira. You know he's being serious. You know what? You buy it with excitement. But you know it's worth it. He sent his son for you. When he was sending his son, he wasn't saying, oh, I'm sending my son to get this one now, that will not be serious. No, he saw what you could be and he sent his son in excitement. As I'm talking to you right now, I just want you to take yourself seriously and begin to see yourself the way God sees you. You might be selling something, doing something you think is insignificant. You know, maybe you did not go to Harvard, or, you know, your parents are not Dangote. All these things don't really matter, do you know? Doesn't. What matters is what God thinks about you. And he thinks in that your shop or in that your room, you are so important. And that's why he brings his word to you constantly, trying to persuade you that he loves you. And he has a big plan for your life. And so, number one, don't listen to the devil who tries to tell you you're just like others. And don't be careless about your life. Don't be careless about your life. You were bought with a price. You're expensive. You are very, in fact, you are the most expensive person ever. Be conscious of that. And let me tell you something. If he bought you with a price, his eyes are on you. Let me give you an example. If I bought a pen, many of you have misplaced pens when you're in school. 30 naira, 20 naira. If it gets missing, I'll just get another one. If I bought a car, I had $10 million in the account, and I bought that car for $9.95 million. It cannot misplace. Are you seeing it? It can never misplace forever. Are you seeing it? It can't misplace. Why? Because it's expensive. I'm going to put my eyes on it. I'm going to ensure that, you know, it's careful. Nobody can scratch it. You know, that kind of car that you know that when you're driving, you want to come outside and be looking at yourself and be cleaning whatever dust that is coming on the car. Why? Because it's so expensive. But listen, even if I pay that much, $10 million is not my life. If I had $10 million, it means that even if I use it, I can get it again. When I give my life, the protection I'll give to that object will be worth more than what I would do for a $9.95 million car. He gave his life for you. Think about it. He gave his life for you. So at times you're just in your room wasting time. At times, you know, instead of reading your Bible, you're saying whatever, you're doing whatever. Remember, the person who paid so much for you is looking at you and waiting for you to finally make up your mind to be serious with him. I'm talking to you. God is waiting for you to finally make up your mind to be serious with him. That's what he's waiting for. And he said, attend to his words. Let's look at it. Go to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. He's talking to you. He's saying, pay attention to him. You know what he's saying? My son, give me attention. Why? Because he gave you his life. You know, on Sunday, last Sunday, we learned that he gave his life for you so you'd live for him. But this Sunday, I want to tell you that this is what you should do because you're important to him. Praise the Lord. You are. You're an important part of God's plan. Heaven would not be awesome as he wants it to be without you. So take yourself seriously. Let me tell you something. We used to say that if you don't know your purpose in the world, you know, start from the known to the unknown. And that's true. That's correct. But this period, where you have time, you can pray and God will talk to you uniquely about what he called you to do or what he sent you here for. He'll talk to you. I told you the story of A.A. Allen, how that he really wanted to hear the voice of God. And he spent time praying and fasting, and God talked to him. Let me tell you something. From the day you make up your mind, or the second you make up your mind that, you know what, I want God to talk to me, he knows. He's excited about it. He's anticipating that. So once you make up your mind, he's going to talk to you. This is the period to do so. At times, while you're doing that and you're praying, you see a vision of what he wants you to do. Or while you're done praying, you just know this is why you are here. And then you focus on it. You put your resources, resource of time, money, energy on it. And you'll be fulfilled every single time because you know you're doing what he wants you to do. Praise the Lord. So say, I am important to God. You are. You are. Take yourself seriously. Okay, so quick. Let's go to the message, all right? The message for today. I just want to show you something that you can think about and meditate about and be excited about. You know, my purpose in this world is very clear. It's something that I know, like the air that I breathe. But one of it is bringing people to understand that because they are born of the Word of God, they are in fact the Word of God. And this is not extreme. If you saw Jesus when he walked on this earth, he looked just like you. But he was in fact the Word of God. And we are born again. Okay, so let's look at this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45. I read it. It says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. I know some people are really excited. They're really excited about this part of the message. I know them. I can sense it from here. All right. The first man, Adam, was made a living soul. It's true. All right. God made the first man, Adam, a living soul. It says the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, Adam means mankind, but then it signifies the beginning of something. All right? The beginning of something. And so he says, the first Adam, mankind, a mankind. Remember, God said, let us make man in our own image. So Adam was the mankind of God. Do you understand? Yeah. And so he said, let's make man in our own image. So he said, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. So God made him. All right? Then he said, the last Adam. So he's not saying there's another Adam. He's saying the last man. All right? The last Adam was a kind of God. Do you understand? Because he was made in the image and likeness of God. He was made to look like God and to function like God. So if people could see God then, God looked just like man. Had two hands. The animals that don't have two hands, all right? Like the millipede, okay? But God looks just like man. So they could say, this is just like the creator of the universe. But, this is a different kind. He looks like him, but he's a different kind. Are you saying? Just like gorillas look like men, but they are a different kind. But then we call all of them mammals. So he's saying, the first kind of man, Adam, was made a living soul. But the last kind was made a quickening spirit. So, so there are two kinds. That's what I'm trying to say. Right now, there are two kinds of men that are the kind of God. Okay? Great. Look at it. Everybody traces their roots to Adam. Every man on the earth traces the root to Adam. It doesn't matter if you say, I'm from this place, I'm from that place. The name of my great-great-grandfather is Chuku, something, or Obiora, something. He would trace his roots to Adam, the first man. That's why he looks just like Adam would look, the first man. So, who are these people, or who is this second man? Because if everybody traces their roots back to the first Adam, then for anybody to be part of the second Adam, there must have been a regeneration. There must have been a regeneration. There must have been some deaths. When I mean regeneration, I mean the gene being renewed, their genes being renewed, their makeup being renewed or changed permanently. When did that happen? Who is the last man? The first man, Adam. The last Adam, Jesus. The first man died in the garden. The last man resurrected in a garden to die no more. Whoa, glory to God. To die no more. The first man could be affected by death and he dies. The second man and the last man, there's no third man, there's no fourth man. This is the second and the last. Came out of death, never to be affected by death. In fact, he didn't come out of death as by escaping. No, he came out victorious, a conqueror. So, look at it. Then he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That means everybody traces their roots back to Adam, but the man who is in Christ is a new person entirely, cut off from that genealogy. That's why I said he's a regeneration. He's a new person now. This one, you cannot trace his roots back to Adam. Bible says, "Ye are of God, little children." This one, he traces his roots to God. 1 John 4 verse 4, you're of God, little children, and overcome them. It says, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But then he tells you. Okay, let's finish this. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 45. It says, and so it is written, the first man Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Verse 46. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. See, I'm a spiritual person. That's what he's trying to say here. He said, Adam was natural.
So he could die,
be affected. The second Adam is spiritual. Okay? Okay, 47. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. I'll begin to explain something to you here. Okay? I wish I have. I hope I get to do this, you know, as we go on. But look at it. He says the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Okay. For the earth is where I'm going to. He says, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Wait. You know, since I'm talking about Adam and Jesus, and we know them. Okay, Adam, Jesus. But look at 48. He says, as is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. He says, okay, Adam was earthy. That means this man was natural. Have you seen people that don't have any spiritual sense? And this is not an insult, it's just a fact. They don't have spiritual sense. They can't understand things spiritually. They are dead. They don't know, you know, the Bible says their understanding have been darkened. They don't know how to interpret spiritual things. They are earthy. They can only relate with life based on what they can feel, they can see, they can smell, they can hear. They are earthy. So he's saying, it's no surprise, Adam was earthy too. Since as is the earthy, such are they also that earthy. It's true, we know there are many people like Adam. But then he goes on to say, and as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Oh God. And this, look. He said the heavenly is a man. In verse 47, he says the second man is the Lord from heaven. The Lord from heaven is a man. That means those that are heavenly will be men. But this is what I want you to see now. He's saying there are those that are earthy in this world today, and there are those that are heavenly in this world today. Wow! Who are those that are heavenly? Those whose genealogy cannot be traced to Adam, but to God. No wonder he said you must be born again. You must be born again. All of us that are Christians, we are heavenly. And remember something. When it says, as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. All right? He isn't saying it like, ooh, these are heavenly people. They are heavenly conscious. These are heavenly conscious people. That's not how he's saying it. Because he already explained to us what this heavenly is. He already explained it. I mean, he leaves no room for doubt. He doesn't say heavenly, those that are heavenly. So immediately someone canalizes everything and says, okay. The heavenly people are those that are heavenly conscious, heavenly minded, earthly present, but heavenly minded. That's what he's saying. He explained it. Look at it. In verse 47, he says, the second man is the Lord from heaven. When he says they are heavenly, he's actually talking about where they came from, the lifestyle they are used to, the Lord from heaven. So those that are heavenly came from heaven. Hallelujah. I have so much I want to tell you. So much. But let me do it this way so it's simple for you to understand, at least for today. Next week, we will look into it in detail. And if I don't look into it next week, remind me, but look into it in detail. Someone says, how am I from heaven? And someone says, how am I from heaven? When am I, how is that possible? I won't be surprised if people said that. It's just the knowledge of the word of God they don't have. Think about it. Jesus was born of a woman. God did not throw him from heaven. Say, Mary, catch. That's not what he did. He was born of a woman. Were you born of a woman? Yeah. Okay, so we are starting on the same basis. Okay? In terms of being born of a woman. And then Jesus grew up and he told them once, let's go there. He told the Jews once that he came from heaven. You'll be amazed what he said. Go to John. John chapter 6, verse 38. I read it. It says, for I came down from heaven. Jesus is talking. Came down from heaven. You see, this is what Paul was saying, that the second man is the Lord from heaven. And Paul said that after he had said it. So he was one who told them, look, I came down from heaven. Okay. Not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent him, sent me. Look at 41. The Jews then murmured at him. You know what murmur is? That's how you murmur, right? Then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph? You know what they're trying to say? Okay, that's what he says. Whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Do they sound like how your mind is telling you right now when I said, those that are heavenly came from heaven? People have not changed. Look at it. What they were trying to say is, and they were correct. We know his mother. We know his father. They were probably there in the naming ceremony. He did not come down from anywhere. You can imagine them saying, he did not come down from anywhere. We know his parents. How can he say? Because they were murmuring. Look at this one. How can he say he came down from heaven? They didn't believe him until he went back the same way he came. So he says, no, but he didn't fall from heaven. He didn't. But he is the word of God. So listen to this. Are you ready? You have to follow me, okay? Because I want to make it so simple you'd understand. Follow me. Don't lose me, okay? Don't lose me, all right? I said when I started that Jesus was born of a woman. And you are born of a woman. So in that regard, you are correct. You are the same. But Jesus' father was God, or is God. We know what I'm talking about. Was God. He was not born with the help of a human man. But you were born. You have a father, okay? Joseph was not really his dad. He was his caretaker, but not his dad. Okay? All right. So at what point? So he can say, I came from heaven, because there was no need for a human man to bring him forth. Okay? So you can look at that and say, that's why we are not the same. The question is, you know, you need a seed and you need the body of a woman to make a child. The seed that was Jesus, where did it come from? Gabriel appeared to his mom with the word of God. And he told her that she would bring forth a son. He had news for her when he appeared. He told her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. He had news for her. But in that news was the word of God. So when she heard, the Bible says, when she went to Elizabeth's house, Jesus said, blessed is she who believed. So when she heard what the angel said, she believed. And she received a child. Do you understand? And she clothed him with her body. Okay. So Gabriel came with news that when she heard and believed, she formed a child. Gabriel came from heaven. Gabriel is in heaven. So he brought a heavenly message to Mary And she heard it. She believed it. And it was so. And she carried the divine seed. Okay. So Jesus was born of a woman, but with a divine seed. You were born of a woman, but you have a father. Until you heard the message from heaven. The good news. The Bible says, this is the one who speaks from heaven. You heard the good news. You believed. And that old man died. And a new man became. And the Bible says, we are born of incorruptible seed. So we are born of the word. So at that level where you believed, you became just like Jesus. So you too, you came from heaven. Because let me tell you something, the substance of life is the word of God. The word of God is the simplest form of life. So the word, you exist because of the word. And so when he says, they that are heavenly, he knows what he's talking about. God is looking at you and he's saying, when you got born again, a new man appeared. He says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. When you got born again, a new man appeared. From where? From heaven. And why am I saying this? It's a month of oneness. God wants you to be conscious of who you are. You might look like others, but you are not like others. You are an invention of divinity in this world. I mean, God just sent his people from heaven to invade this world. And then the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. That's his plan. But how is he going to establish that when you still think you are just like others, but you are not like others? How did Jesus find out? I mean, he could have seen his birth certificate. He came from a woman. How did he find out that he was not like them? Through reading the scripture. It says, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And then the Bible says, he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. It says, Mighty God. Oh, he read it. He read it. Oh, unto us a child is born. That's me. Unto us a son is given. It says, for God so loved the world that he gives unto God in son. I'm telling you what Jesus must have read. This was in Isaiah. And we know that in Luke 4, Jesus read the book of Isaiah. He must have read it and say, a child is born. That's me. A son is given. That's me. And he shall be called. He said, these are my names. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. He would have thought, that's me. And began to live that life. It became his communication. And you know what? When he said, God is my Father, God wasn't angry with him. He wasn't angry because he was correct. Because God would have said, okay, just like he asked Adam, the first Adam when he sinned, when he said, I am naked. God asked Adam, who told you you are naked? So when Jesus said, if Jesus said, I and my Father are one, God would have said, who told you we are one? Jesus would have said, unto us a child is born, a son is given, and he shall be called Everlasting Father. And God would have said, you're correct. Are you saying it? Because the basis of his communication was the word of God. How much more you that have received this life and you are born of the word? So you're not ordinary. And when we say pray, study the word, you might be doing it like a normal human being, praying, studying the word. But I want the way you communicate, the way you think, to change. You are important to God. Good. You are God's invasion in this earth. Say, I am God's invasion in this earth. A heavenly invasion. Man expects an invasion. The Bible says the whole creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. So man expects an invasion. You see it in the movies. They are still waiting for aliens to invade them from outer space. Where did they get that idea? Where? The Bible says this is the light. that lighted every man that cometh into the world. That means every man that comes into the world has a light about God, knows what God can do. He has an idea. Are you seeing it? He has an idea. So man makes movies of aliens that come from outer space. And then man makes movies of Superman that came from outer space. Because they have an idea. They have an idea that we should expect beings from outer space. It's just like the Jews. They're expecting it in a particular way, but it came in another form. The Jews were expecting the Messiah to be a warrior. When they heard mighty God, they thought this guy can fight, but he came as a savior. Man is expecting aliens from outer space, like Superman from Krypton, that has superpowers. But Christians showed up. We came from heaven, and yes, we have superpowers. The Bible says we receive power when the Holy Ghost came upon us. Not just that, with faith, we can move mountains. And then he says, lay hands on the sick and they shall be healed. We are what the world is waiting for. And if you don't know that and act like that, you'll be an Orthodox Christian. You're just a religious person. Just religious, just like the Pharisees. Just religious, go to church. Baba God, help me, oh. Throw away that. There's more to being a Christian than that nonsense. Throw it away. Don't get to heaven and realize. Someone says, at least I may come. I may come. When I get to heaven, shout, I may come. I may come at least. No, let me tell you something. When you get to heaven, if you get to heaven with that mindset, you'll not even be able to say, at least I made it. Why? Because it will dawn on you that you were always from heaven. So you were just in a rat race back to where you came from with nothing to offer. But that's not God's plan. He wants you to know who you are and live in that reality. Remember something during our camp meeting, how he said in chapter 5, some of you will be interested in this, all right? Chapter 6, rather. He said, know ye not that we shall judge angels? When I say there's more to this life than trying to woo God, you have to believe it. You shall judge angels. There's more about you. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for everyone on the sound of my voice. I rebuke that pain. There's when you have a pain in the jaw close to your ear and your cheek muscle. That pain is gone in the name of Jesus. I rebuke that pain. Someone, you have migraine, like something is holding your head, you know, like a hand. It's actually a demon. I rebuke that demon in the name of Jesus. And healing has come to you now. Son, you have running nose, but you don't want anybody to know. Because you think of corona. The problem is gone in Jesus' mighty name. So many people, even now, receive your healing. Person, you have bitter taste in your tongue. Someone else's sore throat. Healing is yours now. In Jesus' mighty name. That sore throat, it's like your gum is being affected, but the pain is gone. I pray for everyone listening to me. I pray that even as you sleep today, the consciousness of the glory of the Word of God would follow you. I pray that it would dawn on you steadfastly who you are, and you live in that reality every day. Thank you, Father, because it is so. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.